You're rich.
Hey,
how's it going? Oh, nothing. I figured the last two episodes with the bombastic announcement.
I think it was more than the last two.
The Geckos, Gamescast.
The last 10.
Really?
Yeah. We just kind of been on the rabid fire. But we're at episode 75 and we're slowing it down.
I like the high energy that we've had, but I was listening to the other cast and I said, you know,
late night talk show.
What are they so excited about?
Nothing.
And then I thought about the late Larry King. And
God bless that man.
I mean, had a lot of stuff going on. And all of his other interviews. And, you know, Larry King never shouted at the top of his lungs.
No.
Screamed like Chris Farley at the camera.
But maybe
said, welcome to my show.
I mean, I...
Yeah.
When I
heard, I'm not even saying that was wrong. Maybe we should have done that. Or maybe he should have done it differently.
When I heard about Larry King's passing, I watched my two favorite Larry King interviews ever. Eric Andre. For obvious reasons. And then I watched his interview with Danny Pudi, which has one of my favorite Larry King moments ever, when they're talking about, like, giving up luxurious things or something, and he's just like, what, Larry? What's luxurious? He's like, private plane? And he's just like, Larry, I'm on DuckTales.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty damn funny. And I was also completely unaware in history that Larry King typically does not look up his guests at all. He just... He's very well known for just going into an interview blind and learning about his interviewers in the way that he thinks that it becomes more genuine in his interactions with them.
Well, I think that there's something to that, because it makes it feel like a more genuine conversation.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, a cheat sheet wouldn't kill the fucking guy, you know? Like a little cheat sheet. Like, hey, this guy was in DuckTales.
Yeah.
Or... this guy or this person's not too well known, but let's talk about that. Or, hey, this person has starred in XYZ. Just some throwaways.
Yeah. Some
without influencing too much questions. Because I don't know. I feel like even as an interview, I think it's a cool little niche thing that you would do. But I don't fucking know. Like, what if some B-list actor comes in and you actually want to know about them? Maybe they want to promote something. You're just sitting there. You're not even giving them time. You just learned about them as a person. I mean, sure, for the cameras, seems great. But what are we doing? What are we doing there?
I would want... You know, I feel like I want to have as much information as possible so I could zero in on one thing they probably don't want to talk about.
Exactly. This is what I'm talking about. I want to go in deep on the conversations
that they
blatantly want to avoid.
Yeah, but not even like a really personal thing, but just like something that's like, this isn't the pinnacle of my career. Why do you... Like, I want to interview Alan Cummings, but just keep asking him questions about what it was like to be Nightcrawler.
I'd want to interview Kelsey Grammer and say, Kelsey, I heard rumors of a Frasier revival. Is that true? Just for him to say, what? No.
Actually, it's hilarious you brought that up, because I had a note here, because there are talks of a Frasier revival right now.
Don't.
No, this
honestly,
is real. And
is that real?
Yeah, I saw it, and my immediate thought was like, finally, our podcast will be relevant.
Holy shit. Wait, Okay, so yesterday was the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And if you are a Tampa Bay fan, you were very happy.
I don't think anyone was really happy. That game was pretty boring.
A Tom Brady hater, you are not very happy. And if you like Gronk, like I do, then you're pretty ecstatic.
Everybody likes Gronk. Anyway. He has a monster energy flavor
so,
that tastes like drywall.
Super Bowl happened. One of the announcements, though, was Paramount Plus, which is
That's
a
weird
service.
Commercial.
It is, yes, it's extremely strange. And frankly... I don't even...
Not good.
I don't even know what the fuck's that all about.
Is the word I would use.
So, that's a thing. Glad we can go through there. I'm reading here, though, Rich, that Frasier is directly tied to Paramount Plus.
So we'd have to get Paramount... We could expense that to the company, I think. Because we'd have to watch Frasier, but, like... Actually, we'd add an entire half an hour segment onto these shows so we could break down the newest episode of Frasier.
Yeah, if that's actually true, if what I'm reading here... has any water to it, then we are in. We are in.
We're
going to
do a spinoff show called the Gecko Frasier Cast, where we we break down episodes of Frasier.
Yeah.
Frasier.
Yeah.
And you know,
Frasier's back.
We do Talking Simpsons style. Where, in between, we have to go back and do the original Frasier.
Oh, yeah. Well, Frasier's back. Niles is back. His antics.
We do Cheers also, just to lead up to it. To be like, we gotta get the full Frasier Crane backstory.
You could do one of those episodes that's in every show where that goes on for like 7 seasons, and it's the inevitable flashback episode where they go, you know, we've been through a lot of crazy shit together. Remember that one time when, and then they go back to like season 2, and you're thinking, the hell is this?
Yeah, it's the highlight show.
Yeah, where the highlight reel.
It's to save on budget, and like we need to turn an episode out, so like the only new content is gonna be like Niles and Frasier in like a cab, talking about all the wacky times they've had with Roz and the gang.
I don't think I want this. I don't think I want.
What was the dog's name? Was the dog's name Eddie?
Niles, the actor. I think he has evolved beyond Frasier.
Agree to disagree.
I think David Hyde Pierce, I think it's over. Not in a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I just think that this man has already reached for the stars. And
Niles!
This would be, yeah. I think he should come in with those handlebars, though, for one cameo, but then leave forever.
I think what'll happen, though, is like if he were to insinuate that, he's like, I'm beyond Frasier. Kelsey should flip out. He should be like, you're beyond Frasier? You're nothing without me.
Kelsey should just come in and do a complete 180 on the character. Just start jumping up and down shit.
I think he should just do a new show called Kelsey that is like a romanticized version of his own life where he's playing like the over-the-top version of himself from 30 Rock. It's like a 30 Rock spinoff.
And they just... Yeah, and then it turns out it is a 30 Rock spinoff by the end of it.
You know, there almost was a 30 Rock spinoff.
With who?
Well, okay, I don't know if you know this. On Peacock right now, NBC's thing. A new show Tina Fey wrote is up called Mr. Mayor. It stars Ted Danson. He's playing like the mayor of California.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Originally, this show started life as a 30 Rock spinoff, and they wanted to get Alec Baldwin playing Jack Donaghy as the mayor of New York. But apparently, they couldn't justify filming in New York, and Alec Baldwin didn't want to move, so they changed it to the mayor of L.A. thing. And Alec Baldwin was like, yeah, I'm not moving to L.A. to do the show. So then they pivoted
Damn, son. You know what? Fuck all these revivals. I don't want these revivals. I don't... Leave them alone.
I liked 30 Rock enough that I would gladly give that a shot. But, like, I feel like unless you have, like, certain members of the core cast, like, unless you can get Kenneth in that show, I think I'm out.
I'm over it. I'm over it.
We need
Goodbye.
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, if only. But that is on Paramount Plus, though. That was a complete shot in the dark.
Does Paramount Plus exist
right
now? Frasier
is coming back, I guess. To drive this back to Larry King, if you're still with us and did not tune out after 7 minutes.
That's what we're talking about.
I can't emphasize enough how problematic your life must be.
This podcast is
to
about
stick around for this long.
Video games.
Yes, but video games. I didn't really play a lot.
You've been
away,
yeah. I got some stuff I could talk about, though. So
I want you... Oh, okay. I actually want to hear first and foremost about this whole God of War PS5 update,
sure.
And then I want to hear about Destruction All-Stars.
Yes, okay. So Sony Santa Monica put out earlier this week a patch to update God of War for the PS5. And for a while, I've been kind of looking for a reason to replay that game, and I'm kind of like carving it out and like be like, I'm going to try and get the platinum in this just because I like that game a lot. So, like, the main things are just technical fixes, like native 4K, 60 FPS. The game, like, that game was already beautiful. It looks even better now, and the combat in that game feels fantastic at 60 FPS. Like, beyond fantastic. Like, it's nothing substantial in terms of, like, they're changing things mechanically, but it just looks and feels fucking amazing on that console now. And most people, if you have a PS5, you probably have PlayStation Plus, so even if you never bought God of War, you have access to this. Through that Hits collection. And I can't stress, like, how good that game feels at 60 frames.
I am now going to go back to God of War.
I would recommend it. I'm also, my file obviously carried over, so I'm playing it on New Game Plus. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty crazy to start that game with, like, the Leviathan Axe and the Blades of Chaos. Like, it completely mm-hmm. changes the way you play, because I'm just switching up weapons on the fly all the time now. Because you typically only have the blades for, like, the back half of that game. But it just, everything feels really well fleshed out. There's, I'm assuming this stuff was already in there. There's new armor sets that are only in New Game Plus.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just got the Armor of Ares, which is Kratos' armor from God of War 3. And I've been rocking that, and my stats are going pretty good. That game's still...
my stats are looking nice. Are looking real nice.
The systems in that game are really overwhelming, especially when you start the game with all the mechanics. So I had to go back and look at, like, all those tutorial videos and stuff to kind of remember how
combat flowed.
Yeah, the
fact that it even has tutorial videos, I love that. That is something that... I mean, you're really only going to most of the time get that with AAA studios, unless it's not that big of an effort to put it into other indie games that I have seen this for.
Mm-hmm.
But I love tutorial-esque videos where they just show you briefly how to do a combo or a move. That's very high standard that I look for every time.
It's great, and it's, you know, the thing is, like, showing you how to do it is one thing, but showing you how it should look, it, like, drives it home, because, like, okay, now I know, yeah, okay, I'm doing it right. Like, there's never a seed of doubt in your mind. Like, am I even pulling that move off?
The only other implementation of that kind of system where they got really creative with it that I really enjoyed back in the day was in Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the book for Belmont's moves and tricks, it was actually not a video, but it was a drawing. It was a drawing animation of the move being done in a 2D fashion, like a drawing.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool.
That's
a
lot more
to
work,
your point,
arguably.
That at least provided some context. Yeah, for sure. And it was just like free eye candy just to see it. But that at least provided me with context with, okay, like I know how this should look when I do pull it off.
That's cool.
And that was really cool. So highest standard I got, give me a video. Lowest standard I got, give me nothing. But middle, if you want to use your artist to just draw some animations for it, 2D, I'll take that. Give it to me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's some nice, good eye candy and accessibility options for me as a player.
But yeah, I mean, God of War is God of War. I really love that game. I think it's cool that they are showing this kind of support, especially since I think a lot of people will probably go back to this before Ragnarok drops.
Yeah, I think honestly that's pretty much why they're if Ragnarok really wasn't on the table, I think they'd still patch it. But I'm sure that just further incentivizes them to get more people,
especially because
to play the game.
With that whole like PlayStation Plus collection thing now, the attach rate for that game is like it's in the hands of a bunch of people that never played it in the first place, whether they want it or not. So seeing them go, oh, by the way, it now runs better on this new console you have. Like it's like, you should probably check that game out.
And we've said this a few times too. I mean, the PlayStation 5 needs everything it can get this year into next year to just really justify its place in being next gen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure. In the beginning of last year, you know, it's the next gen console, but it didn't really have a lot in its library to show its stuff. So the more, the better. I don't even care if they're patches of old games. Keep it coming. I love it.
Yeah, totally. The other big PS5 boy I'm playing is Destruction All-Stars.
Okay, please just tell me this before we get into it. Is it good?
Yeah, I love it. I've been playing a ton of it.
You really do?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Oh, we definitely got to play it then.
You should download it. I've been playing a ton of it. If they had gone with the original plan, if this was a $70 game and I paid $70 for it, I'd be pissed off.
You would?
Yes.
That's probably what they thought too.
At what they're doing with this, and I think it's free until April with PlayStation Plus, that, you know, everybody's got this game. It's a fantastic. There's room for microtransaction stuff and, like, skins and all that, but I haven't fed any money to it yet. I've leveled up enough to buy a skin, but I'm going to let that keep going so I can get, like, one of the nicer premium ones.
Mm-hmm.
This game's just a lot of fun, and I think making it free was the right move solely because $70 is a lot to ask for this, and this is one of those games that's going to live and die by its player base. And it's better to get this into everyone's hands. So, for anyone unfamiliar, this is sort of a, like, demo derby competitive multiplayer game. the best way I can explain it, it feels almost like Twisted Metal marred with, like, Overwatch. And this,
because each character has their own abilities and all that outside the cars.
Yeah. And all the characters feel, like, unique, and they've got that fun flair, and there's, like, an almost over-the-top kind of sort of feel to everything in this extreme sports vibe. The announcer is Bruce Buffer from the UFC. I kept hearing the voice and thinking it was super familiar, so I looked it up. It's Bruce Buffer.
I love how you were able to identify that.
I was like, I know this man's voice. So I looked it up, and it was Bruce Buffer.
Wow.
And he does a great job with it. So the main play style of it is you pick your character. When the match starts, and I'm talking in this instance about the normal mayhem mode, which is simply you're loose in an arena, you get points for hitting other cars or for wrecking over other cars.
Okay.
You actually start outside of your vehicle as one of these characters. And there's a bunch of cars on platforms, and you run, you grab a car. There's like 3 to 4 different car types always floating around the field, which are like a compact, sort of like Prius-looking small thing, a normal...
Prius-looking shit.
A normal, like, derby, like, mid-sized sedan, and then there's, like, usually, like, a bus or something or an SUV that hits a little bit harder.
Mm.
But then you're driving, and the main thing is the driving feels super arcadey in a way that is great. Like, everything handles really nicely. Like, your power braking to do quick U-turns, because it's a demo derby game. What you want to do is line up shots and just hit for, like, maximum impact. And the way they make that feel really good is with the right stick, on operating on a cooldown, you can either flick forward or flick to the sides to boost forward or to the sides to smash into other cars and do more damage.
Okay.
Through all this, you can also jump out of the car at any time and, like, wall run around parts of the arena. Like, the characters are super nimble, and you can actually hijack other people's cars. You can jump on top of them and start doing, like, you're doing a quick time event and they're doing a different one to try and get you off. If you succeed, you can choose to either hijack their vehicle or just crash it.
That's cool.
And then if you obviously get knocked out, like if your car's taking a lot of damage, you can just choose to leap out of it. And there's other cars spawning in on those spinning platforms that are dropping. Then you come down to the sort of ultimate abilities of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has an on-foot ability, which will be something like, oh, I'm leaving fire in my wake. Or anyone that, you know, tries to touch me gets knocked back for a certain amount of time. And then their quote-unquote vehicle ult is you actually call in a vehicle that's specific to them that only they can use.
Mm-hmm.
And then that car has a special ability tied to it. Like, one of the characters, Blue Fang, his car is this big truck with, like, these spinning razor blades in the front. Or there's a character called El Fuego that has, like, flamethrowers going on the outside of his car. But everything feels unique. Like, you can kind of get a feel for it. I think people are still learning the meta, like... So some of them are harder to use than others. Like, there's one character who, her whole thing is she's one of the few who her ability is not ready to go the moment she gets into the car. She has to hit people a few times to charge it up, and then lets out, like, this wide area shockwave that just decimates people.
See, it's such... Even just hearing it described, too, it sounds like, and it did sound like when I saw it, an incredibly fun game. It looked and sounded like a fun game that I knew would operate just like this. With the abilities and just the Rocket League-esque sort of movements and just the...
It feels as good as Rocket League flare. To drive around it, and that's...
Honestly, it looked like it, and it wasn't a surprise. I would have been shocked if it didn't feel like that. That kind of high-octane velocity movement, because Rocket League was just so successful.
Yeah.
In terms of actually getting its controls down pat. You know, that was one of the main things that I just found to be so fun outside of the main game. And I agree, the one thing that I also thought was I would never in my wildest dreams pay $70 for that, ever.
I agree. That's just the thing. If this had launched at $70, I would have waited until it inevitably dropped in price, and I would have picked it up for, like, $30 or $40.
Yeah. But 100%.
Giving this away for free was the smart move, because now I'm enjoying the hell of the out of the game. I'll probably pump, like, $20 into cosmetics at some point just to throw the devs something, because... When I am playing a game that I've been given for free and enjoying it this much, I always feel that obligation to. And eventually I'll find that character that I'm playing a lot and be like, I want the premium skin.
Yeah. I mean, it was the best move for them now. And the dev team now is going to be able to at least capitalize on probably just some DLC.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're going to capitalize on it.
There's 4 modes right now. There's the one I described, Mayhem. And then there's Gridfall, which is you're driving around an arena in the same fashion, but parts of it are falling out from underneath you, and the last person standing wins. I've yet to win a match. I came in second place in a match of Mayhem last night, and I was so mad because I was so fucking close. Then there's two team-based modes that are 8v8. They're a little bit more complicated. There's one called Carnado that I think I'm liking this one more than the other. Both of them are centered around this one idea, which is every character has, like, these gear pickups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actual gears that they drop. So you want to knock somebody out of their car, and then they drop their gears. And then you leap out of your car and try and pick those gears up. In Carnado, you want to get as many of those gears as you can, and there's a big tornado spinning in the center of the arena. And to bank your points, you need to drive your car into the tornado and destroy it.
That's pretty cool.
And then the other one is a similar idea, except there's multiple banks around the arena. And you need to get out of your car and stand on the banks and pump enough gears into it to take control of it. And by the end of the match, you want to have control over most or control the whole arena. And it'll be like, let's say you're on the red team and I'm on the blue team. You jump on a bank and put 7 gears in it. Now I need to put at least 8 in there for my team to take control of it.
Interesting. And I'm sorry if you said this before too, because I'm just thinking about all the ways that, and also looking up pictures of this. The cast of characters.
Yes.
Do you have to unlock them?
Everything's unlocked from the go. They all have skins.
You think that they'll...
I think that I could see them adding new heroes as they go.
Yeah, new ones. I figured that too.
I do feel like there's... And again, I think people are still learning the meta. Right now, a lot of people are drawn to the more simple characters. Like I said, Blue Fang, his ultimate's easy as hell. It's just, my car has a fucking bunch of razor blades in the front and it tears cars apart, so a lot of people go for him. But I'm liking some of the weirder ones, like there's a character named Boxtop who his whole thing is he's a postman from the UK and he wears a cardboard box on his head, and his ultimate is he calls in like a delivery truck, and then the attack is he literally sends out like Amazon drones that like hone in on cars and attack them.
So this is definitely going to get an esports scene to it.
It's built with that in mind. I think that's very clear. Like it's got that Monday Night Combat vibe with the announcer and everything and the roaring
I
crowds.
Adored that game.
Monday Night Combat is very good, but like whenever I think
I
of
adored
games
doing
the
that
whole
game.
Extreme sports, like welcome to Monday Night Combat. Like that's very much what this is.
Man, Monday Night Combat on Xbox, that was a lot of fun.
Monday Night Combat slaps.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that game existed. That was an Xbox Arcade title.
I think about that game quite a bit.
It was what I wanted. I love how I'm going to switch this Monday night. It was what I wanted to cure my TF2 itch, to scratch that itch.
Okay.
But it was just way, way fun. It was its own little unique thing.
I'm glad I'm able to sell you on Destruction at least, though, and that you'll download it, because, you know, we have, like, 3 other friends with a PS5, and none of them will listen to me and download this game.
Why?
I don't know.
I knew I was going to... Well, number one, it's free.
Yeah.
Or at least with PS Plus,
I was
gonna
say,
one.
You know what? I know Tom's not listening, so fuck him. He's like, not for me, man.
Mike would play it.
I did text Mike, and he said he was going to download it, but, you know, I never know when he's around, but we should definitely jump. I'll even play some later tonight if you want.
If it doesn't take long, I mean, I'll preload it after this.
Yeah, I mean, text me, and I will jump in a PlayStation party later if you want to.
If it's preloaded up before, like, 11:30. Yeah,
oh, and I should note, if people are wondering, by the time of this recording, they pushed an update to that game to change it, having your mic on by default. Chat is now off by default when you load up the game. It was on by default, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it on off, and it was awful.
Your mic?
No, the mic with a push of the button, but, like, chat audio.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
The way the PS5's designed, if you don't have a headset on, chat comes out of your controller. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's something where if my headset's run out of batteries, it immediately switches over to the speaker, and I'm just thinking, why is this not coming out of the TV?
But I did finally get that Sony Pulse headset. I did finally track one down.
Oh, you did?
I did. It's a very comfortable headset.
I am. I'm still using the previous PS4 one, and it's still been good.
I had
I
that,
like that
PS4
one.
One, but the, like... The earmuffs, like the padding on it, had like completely stripped away.
They don't use it. Crap!
Yeah, so, but I got the Pulse now. That's a very comfy headset. And the battery life appears to be better than that Sony Gold one was.
Funny enough, with the headset and just the controller mic, whenever my headset dies and it goes over to the controller, people think that I sound way better.
That mic and is apparently great.
Yeah, they say, they were asking, every single time they'll say, oh, did you get like a new headset? I'll be like, no, like this is the same headset. And I thought that was hilarious. Just the fact that this previous like $80 headset is completely outclassed by this controller, which next gen.
Next gen, baby. But yeah, it's starting to make me, I think I now know why those PS5 controllers die so quickly.
It's from all the little bells and whistles that are in it.
But yeah, so that's Destruction All-Stars. I think that game's great.
Great game. And it's free.
It's free.
I've seen a lot of buzz about the medium. I see you have this here.
My buzz is it's medium.
Oh, I knew you'd say that too. And only because I was seeing a lot of articles being written about the interesting things that it had. And I only really do see that, honestly, whenever the game ends up being mediocre.
I don't know if I'm going to keep going with this one. It's on Game Pass, but it's really kind of failed to grab me. Like, I like, again, like you're saying, I like a lot of the stuff it's doing, but it feels more like a mechanic that was searching for a game.
Well, yeah, a lot of the, I mean, even just some throwaway articles were about its camera, or its perspective shots, or
it has that
XYZ, and it's just never about, this is a good game as a complete package. It seemed like it was very piecemeal in what they were calling out as good.
It immediately strikes me as, like, old Silent Hill stuff, in that, again, it's very exploratory, and, like, that sort of horror game, which is kind of what I was looking for. But I don't think it does certain elements of that particularly well. Like, it uses the fixed camera stuff really well, which is what a big part of that. But the world and the writing just really aren't drawing me in. And one of my biggest complaints is, like, when I'm playing horror stuff, I don't know, I'm looking for a certain atmospheric horror that I like, and I think at points it's doing that. But the only time this game has really unnerved me is when it's getting, like, cheap jump scares. And I just don't... I don't appreciate that. Like, it feels...
I think they're stupid as hell if they're not done. I mean, I'm biased because I say I love Dead Space. And Resident Evil even has jump scares.
No,
it's just... there's a way to do it well.
It really doesn't that often, though. Like, Resident Evil has, like, one or two sometimes. And if I think back to Dead Space, I don't think about the jump scares. I think about...
Right,
like,
because enough of the game has...
This game just...
Enough of the game has qualities that make you look past even those cheesy moments.
Yeah, it isn't quite atmospheric enough. I don't know. It sucks, because I really do, like, the first hour or two, I was like, oh, they're kind of making a Silent Hill game. That's awesome. But then it just... I don't know. It doesn't continue to scratch that itch for me, and I don't see myself putting the time in to see it through.
All right.
But it is on Game Pass, and if you're up to give it a shot... You have Game Pass.
The medium, you heard it here first from Rich. The medium is medium. Not medium well.
Just
not medium rare.
Just medium.
Just medium.
But on the not medium spectrum.
I will say this, though. If this is the box art for it, I think it is. I think the box art is rad as hell.
It's got cool box art. And
It's got some cool concept art and box art.
I like that you're controlling two perspective things. I don't know that it does it really that well with puzzles a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, a few of the pieces that I was reading, again, just talks about those little intricate technical details that they added, which sound really cool, but didn't really come out as, no, you got to go out and get this game right now. It's a really good horror/psychological game, and you should get it. So
not quite capturing.
Well, you can't win them all, as they say. Medium's good. Medium ain't bad.
It's not bad. It's just not great.
But I'm imagining Haven. I've seen this before. Yeah. Is this good?
I like this game more than I expected to. I was recommended it by Josh over at Sword Chomp, who said he thought it would be very up my alley.
Okay.
A couple things to point off the bat. Soundtrack slaps.
Oh shit! That's always is it bomb? Is it absolutely
it's
bomb?
It is. It is like The entire game soundtrack is like lo-fi chill beats to study to.
Oh man, that's so good.
Like, it's relaxing as hell. So the character follows these two characters, the game follows these two characters, K and Yu, who basically the setup for the story is they have escaped the planet they were living on, because it's under like a sort of authoritarian rule where there's this ruler called the Matchmaker, who basically decides who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And they met when they were young and they wanted to be together, but they're not allowed to be. So they steal this sort of habitat ship called the Nest, and they fly away to another planet to get away from the apiary, which is the sort of people that control their society. And a lot of the game is about like fixing up that nest so you can get away, because you're worried that the apiary is on your trail again. But you're basically exploring this alien planet, and you have these hover boots, so you can sort of glide on these what they call flow streams, which is the energy that basically powers everything in this world. And you upgrade those. The crazy thing is, watching these trailers, you wouldn't even think there was necessarily combat. There is combat, and it's very good. It's a turn-based combat system,
which is always a plus for me. It's alive and well.
You're controlling K and Yu, and it's almost what I would say is the opposite of an ATB system.
Okay.
Where K and Yu are both controlled on K's attacks. You have shield. You have like a ranged blast, and you have a normal like physical attack, and then you have use items, and they're assigned to you. For K, they're all four of the directional buttons, and for you, they're all four of the face buttons. And what you want to do is you hold down the button for the attack you want to use, and once it's done charging, you release, and then you attack. And the enemies are the actual like animals of this planet. But they're being corrupted by this sort of growth that you refer to as rust. And so basically you want to knock them down and then use the flow to purify them and turn them back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And by charging up these attacks, you can attack quickly in succession, have one person shield for the party. If I have them both, say, charge up the impact, which is the physical attack, at the same time, you can do a duo impact where you get put into like a timing-based thing, and then they attack at the same time for a stronger hit. And different enemies behave differently. Like, you'll have to have one person shielding to take the brunt of a counterattack while the other character hits physically or with the ranged attack. There's a lot of nuance to it they introduce as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hesitate to call it light survival stuff, but basically on top of, like, managing your health and stuff, which you can really only use certain health items outside of combat. And otherwise, you need to make your way back to the nest to fully heal up, or get to a camping spot, which are on certain spots on the planet to rest up. You also have to eat like every few hours, and there's a whole cooking system which gets pretty intricate as you find new ingredients on this planet. And most of the game is just moving from place to place on the planet, looking for more rust because it's a resource you need at that point, and looking for sort of broken down technology to fix up the nest so you can get out of there. And you're sort of uncovering this mystery about the apiary, and it seems when you arrive, you're finding all these old buildings. It seems like they tried to colonize this planet at one point, but nobody knew about this, so clearly something weird was going on there.
Interesting. It's only $25.
$25. It's on Game Pass, also, actually.
Game Pass continues to give the gift.
And, yeah, I would recommend Haven.
Continues to give the gift of games.
Pretty fun time.
Damn, I just like the aesthetic and the style. I've been looking up just pictures of it too, as you've been telling me about it, and looks hot.
It does. It's got a good look, and like I said, you listen to that soundtrack, it's just lo-fi hip hop. It's very.
I'm probably gonna look it up after this and just have it in the background.
It is it's one I've been having on the background as I've been doing some writing this week. It is.
I dig that.
Very good.
I saw that the Control Ultimate Edition was also on the Game Pass, too.
Oh, yeah. I downloaded it, though. I have not fired it up. But that Control Ultimate Edition sure has some people mad.
Yeah, because they literally told people to buy it.
And they pre-ordered it and paid for it, and then they're like, guess what? It's free!
Yeah, they actually... I don't remember... And maybe that's just the fault of my lack of looking. I didn't see anything about that.
No, up until...
So, they knew what they were doing.
Weeks ago. It could have gotten added last minute. I never know what these deals are like.
This is... I just... It's how you lose trust, though. The company was already in... It wasn't even the company. They were already in hot water for the Ultimate Edition.
People were not
happy. For those who didn't know, Control, the original editions, just were not being auto-upgraded for next-gen, which a lot of other publishers and game devs were doing. You had to rebuy their game if you wanted to. You had all the benefits with it. A lot of people were kind of miffed about it.
Also, people are sort of miffed about this, and I think it's kind of annoying me as well. You can't transfer your save from the original Control to Ultimate Edition.
Oh, well, that's just stupid.
You have to start from the beginning, and
well, that's just dumb.
I wanted to play the expansions that are included with it, but you can't access those off the bat. You need to progress.
I think you could even do that with Spider-Man.
You can. It came after the fact. It came a few weeks later, but you can do it.
Ugh. That sucks. I was always of two minds of that because, yeah, you know, Control came out, but it did come out even after Spider-Man. I mean, it was only out for a little bit. I mean, when did... Hold on. When did this bad boy... Yeah, came out in...
March?
About mid to late 2019. And when did Spider-Man come out? Because I always see that people were comparing it to Spidey. Yeah, it came out a year early. Yeah, see, it's like... Apples and oranges, I say. I still think they should have just auto-updated, but here we are. And now, but now we get it for free, so I don't care.
Exactly. I didn't list this, but my brother-in-law had bought the wrong edition of a game for his brother, so then he mailed it to me. So I have the PS5 edition.
So you literally just reap the benefits of everyone's misfortune.
Devil May Cry Ultimate Edition. Devil May Cry 5 Ultimate Edition.
Oh, damn.
Which, that's got that ray tracing. It's got that 60 FPS. It is a
that game looks hot.
Nice looking version of Devil May Cry.
Yeah, that game looked hot.
I beat the original Devil May Cry 5, and I've dipped my toes in it so far, so I can't really speak at length with it, but Devil May Cry combat at 60 FPS is about as good as you would hope.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
That was one game, and I don't play, oddly enough, even though that's exactly what the game is for, I don't play Devil May Cry multiple times, even though that's literally what the game is meant to do. It's kind of like an arcade beat-em-up.
I think what I'm going to end up just doing, because you can select it from the menu, is I never played... Well, I think it's only in this version. The Virgil campaign is new.
Yeah, and when I mean arcade beat 'em up, I mean you just got to keep getting your combos up to get the highest scores.
Gotta
and
get those,
do all that.
That triple S.
Lovely combat fun. That's the one game where having 60 FPS, to me, that was a must. I mean, for God's sakes, it probably looks so fucking cool.
Dante's got
What a great time.
Dante's got those twin swords. What are motorcycles? My favorite stupid weapon in that game.
Yeah, and the Virgil still looks weird to me, but what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you have this shit with V, but now there is a Virgil proper campaign that takes place before DMC5.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing. Devil May Cry 5 is pretty cool.
Go get your devils.
And that's only that PS5 version is only $40. They're not asking full price.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good deal, all considered.
And it comes with new content.
And it is something that I've actually just considered buying, just brand new, just because there's more to do.
Yeah, totally.
Gotta give it credit for that. I think it's still funny how they spoiled the shit out of one of the reveals of the game that everybody already kind of knew, but
well,
you didn't
they
really
couldn't
know.
Have signposted it any. More obviously.
I mean, they showed it in the trailer. It was like right in spotlight view, but it's okay. What are you gonna do? But let's go ahead and move into the drop.
It's a light one this week.
Because it's like literally five games.
We got Death Crown coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on February 11th. Little Nightmares 2 hits PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on February 11th. Galgun Returns, PC, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and Switch February 12th. Rover Wars hits Xbox One on February 12th, and the biggie for the week, Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury hit Switch on February 12th.
The furry game finally makes an appearance. Through all these years, and for those who are thinking, what the hell's a Rover War? I'll give you a hint. It's exactly as it sounds.
It's dogs fighting.
It looks like a bunch of rovers fighting each other in a top-down battle for supremacy.
Would you love a game called Rover Wars where only one of the factions are Mars rovers and the other ones are dogs.
Oh, I would love that. It's one of my favorite. Death Crown, I'm pretty sure came out already. For
PC?
Steam. I'm pretty sure Death Crown came out for Steam. It's a weird looking fucking game.
Sure.
It was a well rated one. It's just a very weird looking game.
Nothing wrong with weird looking sometimes.
It looks like something that was made in like for Windows 95.
Dope.
That's what I knew. I heard about this before. I saw a picture of it a few videos and I was thinking it's not my cup of tea, but you never know.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, go ahead. Look at the art. I'll move into the news. I'm not talking about GameStop stocks anymore. It doesn't matter.
I think we pretty much covered that. GameStop stocks. This is a wild-looking game.
Oh! My battery. Hold on. Rich, quick.
Quick.
Do improvisation.
Oh, hey, I went on over to the corner deli earlier, and I got myself a pastrami sandwich. I've been thinking a lot about streaming services.
I don't know where I'd be without
many
you.
Of them? Do I subscribe to not enough of them? It's somehow both. For some reason, I subscribe to Peacock right now. I don't know what. What's up with that?
You were absolutely off of this entire cast. You were gone.
What do you mean?
You were just gone.
Am I not?
Where would I have been without you?
Am I not doing a dope job, as the kids say?
It's like you just start dancing and you just use the sound
audio
of your
format.
Movements to carry it
you
over.
You just hear like heavy breathing and like footfall.
That's right. GameStop though, kind of died down, but GameStop is making some big hires. They just hired somebody from the Amazon AWS team as their CTO. So clearly they just keep trucking. Plans. They're like GameStop's like a phoenix. I really think that eventually, when the ashes do finally fall and settle, GameStop is going to rise up again to reclaim its throne into that internet cafe kind of deal that they always had specs for. And I bet you it's going to be so insanely profitable.
If we weren't living in, especially because people are going to want to get out of the house. If we weren't living in a COVID world, I think we would already live in that reality.
I think it's going to be... And I, for reference for anybody who doesn't know this, anytime I make a prediction on this cast, it usually ends up being 100% wrong.
Except for that time, we kept talking about Frasier reboots.
That was true. That was just a stroke of luck. I think that it's going to be insanely profitable for them. I can't even recall a well-known internet cafe that isn't just some local place run by some enthusiasts in small towns in the States. I don't know of any cafes. That's just me.
No, yeah, I can't think of any.
I was in fucking Manhattan, and they got board game cafes. I just have not encountered a lot of video game or internet cafes.
When you think of how prominent internet cafes are abroad, it's weird that we don't have them.
Yeah, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
Huge. I guess I'm not too surprised because in America, we do have insanely cheap technology to have access to the internet, but on the same token, like, who doesn't want to have a LAN party with some people when they can't run, say, a game on their PC or if they don't have a certain console? I mean, come on,
that's just it. The kids, like, your kids want to go play Doom this weekend.
Yeah, your kids want to go play some Halo Combat Evolved.
I was thinking we could go play some Marathon this weekend.
But I think it's going to be insanely profitable for them. But other than that, stocks have died down. ESA has announced that E3 is going to be canceled again this year.
Woo!
That's not surprising.
Of course it is.
Music festivals and other entertainment festivals are also canceling themselves.
Thing I'm keeping my close eye on. I think PAX East, they're saying, is going to be in June right now. Like, they're trying to push it back and... Like, if the world is in a decent place by then, I wouldn't be opposed to going to Boston in June. Because part of my brain goes, wow... Maybe they should just keep it there so I can go to Boston when it's nice out.
Man, let me tell you. I feel like the last time we were at PAX, that was like the death toll.
It was literally a year ago.
It was. It was basically the time to just... And it was the time to just say, you know, it's over. Just let the dream die.
That thing slid in under the radar in terms of COVID stuff.
I remember even still being highly uncertain to even go.
Yeah.
At the time. Yeah. It, to me, it was... And it was way less crowded than it was projected to be, because a lot of people backed out, rightfully so.
Mainly, that floor felt empty in a way because of the lack of Sony and the way they reshuffled things last minute.
Yeah, and that was right when things were picking up, and I mean, I went because it didn't hit the States yet. I think the first, by the time that I'd gone there, I had learned that one of the first confirmed COVID cases was in Boston proper, and that was after I got there, and I was just thinking, damn, man. I was like, if there's one place on planet Earth where COVID is going to hit the States, it's going to be at this convention center, at this video game conference, and it's going to be one of the biggest spreads in American history.
To their credit, I'll say I've never seen them make more of an effort to be cleanly there. Like, they were taking extra time at demo stations to wipe down everything in between every showing of the game. I remember specifically seeing, like, maintenance staff just standing at the bottom of escalators holding Clorox wipes on the moving banister.
It was actually pretty surreal, but I was glad that I went and that things did not escalate to such levels. But that was it. I feel like the universe is trying to say, hey, listen, this global pandemic isn't your impetus to stop going.
Yeah,
I don't know what will be.
Seriously.
So we'll see. But E3 is canceled again this year. Last year, a lot of vendors and journalists, etc., were wondering when E3 will just die. I don't know, man. I think after this year, for real. I said it last year. I said, oh, you know, it's going to die. I think this year, for realsies, the physical conference ain't going to be so hot next year.
I don't know. Just because, the more time I had to reflect on it, I think a physical E3 last year would have been terrible. If anything, I think COVID bought them time to figure their shit out. I think if they had to put on a physical show last year, I have a strong feeling it would have been so bad that would have been the end.
It would have been the equivalent of that frog who tap dances with the top hat.
Hello, my baby.
And
hello,
they would have had nothing.
Honey. Hello, my ragtime.
Yeah, they would have said, where's the video games? And they would have did that dance. It would have been fucking embarrassing.
I can't remember the name of that frog, and it's bothering me. So I'm going to look it up.
Hard-hitting news. I'm actually very curious.
Michigan J Frog, yes.
Michigan J Frog. If only they could get so lucky. And I don't know. I don't think it'd be dead. I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal even next year. I think eventually it will fade out.
I think Jeff Keighley will buy it.
I think he'll do it with his Game Awards, I'm telling you.
We didn't put in the news? I forgot.
What?
We didn't talk about Mass Effect and all its lens flare.
Oh, yeah. All the massive lens flare in Mass Effect. But to cap off the ESA announcement, yeah, it's a digital event. Go get them. Warner Brothers finally secures the Shadows of Mordor Nemesis system. If you have not been following that, good, because it's been, like, literally low-key every single time. But they've been trying to do that for a while.
5 years. 2016, I want to say, that game came out.
Yeah. They've been doing that for a while. We've been looking to do that for a while. I remember when they first tried, and I think they got blocked from it. That was a thing.
Yeah.
And then they lied in wait, probably locked in litigation, and here we are. Nemesis System is now patented. And if you have not played a Lord of the Rings Shadows of Mordor game, Nemesis System's just when you're fighting like an orc or something, you kick its ass, and they look at you very menacingly and say, I'll get you next time. And
they come back 6 hours later with like a peg leg.
Yeah, with like a peg leg. They're brolic as hell. They've really been hitting the irons and they're back to kill you. And if you kill them again, the cycle will continue where then you'll get another nemesis and they'll be more evolved. And it just keeps going. As it basically gives you some longevity to look forward to things other than killing nameless people. That's the whole spiel. Very cool system.
Stand
I was even
back,
telling Rich before we
flesh.
Recorded. I think another indie game did this once. I don't know which one it was. I think it was Fire Axis. I can't say that for sure. But I wanted more games to implement that kind of system because I thought it was really fucking cool.
You're thinking of Ape Escape 2.
And now they can't. And now the dream is dead because the patent has come.
Nah, that patent
I think they're pretty much locked into that for quite a while.
The patent will wear out eventually, and also I think enough studios will get creative enough if they really want to use a system like this to make something that is just different enough for them to get away with it.
Yeah. But that is what happened.
Last-minute add a news thing, as I mentioned. Mass Effect Legendary Edition has been announced. The long-rumored re-release of the Mass Effect trilogy. And it's got a lot of lens flare. It's a J.J. Abrams movie, apparently. It looks good in terms of, like, they did a lot of visual fidelity stuff, especially to the first game, of improving its look. But, like, what the fuck's with all that lens flare? Like, you seen these screenshots, Eric?
I have. And... hold on. Let me go to the PNG. I like to look at it live.
Live on the...
I remember I looked at some things on my phone, and I was thinking, damn, it's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of lens flare in a lot of this crap. It's kind of funny to joke about, but I don't understand the point.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get it. It looks stupid.
It doesn't look good.
It looks so dumb.
I don't know, man. I mean, The things that sound more exciting to me are the way they're, like, apparently streamlining the first game to make it a little bit more comparable to the others. They're unifying the, like, hacking minigames and stuff across platforms. Seems like pretty much everything is going to be there, except I think they said one piece of DLC from the first game, the Pinnacle Station DLC, is not going to be in this because they lost the source code for it.
Again?
Yeah.
Another company loses source code?
Thankfully, that expansion isn't really vital to anything. It's just kind of a side story where Shepard foils some Batarian terrorists.
Oh, well, then we don't need to know about that. Forget
it. Yeah, I think it just paints the Batarian people in a bad light, personally.
I think it really just puts them in a bad light and nobody should really go for it.
There's no new content they're saying. Like, there's no cut dialogue or anything like that. Like...
why do people think that lens flare equals remaster or updated graphics?
I don't know, man. Why don't you ask J.J. Abrams?
I mean, but J.J. Abrams makes millions of dollars, so he's going to look at me and tell me to suck it. And I literally will have no retort for that man because he has millions of dollars and I do not.
But for games... Like, the shots do look good. But then
they look muted as hell.
Like, there's not nothing good about the shots, but then it's just confusing.
This reminds me of, with Wind Waker HD, where they just went ham on the blooming effect of that game.
Yeah.
They upped the brightness through bloom and just about everything. And they were like, yeah, look, it's HD.
There's no less than 3 pictures where the lens flare is taking up the entire width of the image.
Because that's next gen, baby.
Like,
you want that?
I don't know that... did I need to see every scale on Fane's body? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You only need to give him the first 2 Mass Effects anyways.
Apparently,
Mass Effect 3 wasn't good.
It was fine. Mass Effect 2 is the best Mass Effect game. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes, it is.
Game of a generation.
Yes,
apparently the Mako drives a lot better.
Well, that's great, isn't it? Well, that's just great. You know, that's a day one purchase for this guy.
You know what?
Let's just go driving the Mako all the time.
You know what's the only part of Mass Effect 3 I like? When Morden Solis is a fucking hero. Because let's not sit here and pretend that Dr. Morden Solis isn't the best Mass Effect character.
I really like Rex.
Well, okay, one of my favorite is that Morden arc and the way it intertwines with Rex. Because, again, that was the Mass Effect 4 I wanted. I want to meet Rex's son, not Morden. He promised, man.
I'll give you that. I give you that, too.
I like Morden Solis. But that's all.
The lens flare blows. Stop putting... I don't want to be blinded when I play games.
Weird. It's a weird choice.
Well, because I guarantee they went, how do we make space look next gen?
flare it
and they just drew a big old lens flare on the whiteboard. Actually, I'm sure that in the conference room, they shined a flashlight, a really large flashlight into everyone's eyes, and they said, you know what that was? They said, wow, it looked like a flashlight. They said, no, it's a lens flare. We're going to put that into our game,
you know,
and we're going to put that in every scene.
A lot of people might feel differently than this. I'm going to be really mad if they make it load faster to the point that they get rid of long elevator rides.
I'm of a different mind with that.
No, because it sets up one of my favorite jokes in Mass Effect 3, which is I was with Garrus and Tally, and you're going through, like, a quick subservient thing, and, like, Garrus will randomly bring up a conversation. He's like, you know, you ever miss those old elevators, the slow-moving ones on the Citadel? And you're like, so much bonding time for the crew. Come on, Tally. Tell me about the Quarian immune system.
Tell me about more. Apparently, one of the things that they were changing were some of the camera direction.
Yes, they're not going to randomly pan to Miranda's ass during conversations anymore.
Yeah, Miranda's, this is a message for all you perverts out there. Miranda's ass is officially off the table.
You dumb pieces of shit.
You horny sick little fucks.
How long?
It's off the table.
Do you think until there's a mod that reverses this?
I guarantee you within the week.
It's gonna be
I never will underestimate people's ability to be horny ever again within
I'm
a week.
Horny.
Just for Miranda alone, I know for a fact the first week of release of even Mass Effect 2, there was some shit. So I would say a week, and that's being extremely generous.
Yeah.
If I'm giving you an actual timetable, I'd say 48 to 72
My
hours.
Favorite is if you go back to originally when this stuff happened and, like, people were asking questions of the dev team about, like, hey, it's kind of weird the way they just panned to Miranda's ass during conversations. One of their excuses was, like, actually the same thing happens in conversations with Jacob. And we're like,
yeah, I mean,
we're like,
it does.
It's like, all right, I believe you, but that's not great either.
Yeah, no, let's not mince words here. This happens for both.
We go, okay.
Randomly, the camera will just have an ass sensor, to an ass magnet to it.
All right, fair. But still weird.
They knew what they were doing. I don't think they did know
what they were doing, because otherwise they would have been panning to Morden's ass.
Yeah, I was going to... Or Rex's ass.
Yeah.
They clearly had no idea what they were doing there.
What is the sexy part of the Krogan? Is it the hump? Is it the humpback?
It's the humpback. It's like that humpback. I don't know. I like the way he always says Shepard. Because every time he said it, I was thinking, wow, maybe I'm going to have a nice, meaningful conversation with Rex this time.
Romance Rex.
Yeah. Honestly, yes. When I found out you could, I was thinking, man, I just want to get this absolute rock of a male to just open up.
You know what?
And show me all that heart of gold.
One of my favorite things, and I will never not play Mass Effect this way, is knowing that there's a chance, and having it have happened and had to have load back, that Ashley will kill Rex. Always leave Ashley to die with that bomb, because she sucks.
Yes, she does.
She is the worst. She's like, listen, I'm not a bad person. I'm just incredibly racist against these space lizard people.
I'm not saying I'm a bad person. I'm just saying a genocide of these lizards wouldn't be the worst thing. And I'm like, you are an asshole. Do you even hear yourself?
And then they're like,
do you even
hey,
listen?
Do you want Aiden to stay with the bomb and die, or do you want Ashley? Be like, Ashley, I'm going to need you to stay. Oh, we're breaking up. You know what? We're just going to get out of here.
Ugh. Detestable.
If you let Aiden die,
I'm excited
I don't
to play
you.
It. I'm excited to play Mass Effect again. Only I'm more excited, I think, to play the first one again, even over the second one.
That's the one.
Just because it was years.
Yeah.
I think it was over 10 years ago when I played the first one.
I haven't played that one in a long time. I am excited to play them again, like one and two specifically, as a straight line through. Like just keep that character going. I'm thinking, especially because I definitely never played the first one this way. I'm thinking I'm going to do a FemShep run.
I'm Shep, huh?
Maybe get with my boy Garrus, you know?
Oh, that's a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good choice. I can't
remember.
Can't tell you're wrong.
The Mass Effect 2 Garrus arc is one of my favorite things ever. When you have to track down Garrus and he's become like a vigilante on Afterlife.
He literally becomes an outlaw.
It's pretty badass.
And you're thinking from the first game, this isn't Garrus. And he changes. He becomes a badass.
They call him Angel.
Yeah, he becomes an absolute badass. Highly encourage those. You never play Mass Effect? Give it a try. I will be honest. The first one, it took me a little bit to get really into it.
It
took a
it
bit.
It is way more PC.
Very
RPG
slow in the beginning.
RPG. The second one is way more of a third-person shooter.
Yeah, and it's better off for it, but if you do enjoy the atmosphere and the environments of exploring, that the first one's going to be for you. It'll feel at home. It took me a little bit to get adjusted to it, just because, I don't know, I thought I was a little bored.
The action feels better in 2, but you're better off going in, like, knowing that world and how...
Yeah, I would play 1 solely just for the story. I really would.
Yeah.
It's worth it alone just for the RPG elements and just the overall story for it, really.
I thought it was one of the best parts of it. There's a Mass Effect 4 proper coming. It makes sense to have all of these things available on new hardware.
Yeah, now you can play the third.
Well,
you know.
Also, what I'm wondering is, do you think there'll be some progression carryover from this remake of 3 into 4?
I was thinking about that. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Like,
I can't even draw a guess because...
The thing is, it seems like... The main character of this, if I have to guess, it seems like it's probably Liara.
It looks like Liara, and if it's not Liara, then it's a member of Liara's race, so...
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those future things where Liara is an ancestor or something.
It seemed like they were literally searching the wreck of the Normandy, and from what people have been able to pick out, it seems like you're probably playing as Liara, and they were able to pick out in the background of those shadows, it looks like Grunt... Grunt, Garrus, and Tali are on the crew, from the look of things, at least.
Well, I hope they just honestly take some liberties and retcon some shit, because 3 was good. It just wasn't... Story-wise...
It made some choices.
It definitely was a dip. They honestly wrote themselves into a corner, and...
Also, that updated ending that they released for 3 later on will be the default in this version.
Yeah, which, rightfully so. Let it happen. So... Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited to see it. For those who have not played it, highly recommend. Very good game.
Totally.
And that's it from me.
That's it. Can't wait to see Dr. Morden back in action.
I know, back in action, HD, lens flare abound,
lens flare
all over the goddamn place.
Right in between Morden Souls' big bug eyes.
Yeah, lens flare coming real quick. But everybody be safe out there. Don't lens flare yourself blind. Rich, you wanna?
Yeah, let's roll on out of here.
Wanna get the brooms?
I'm getting the brooms. Housekeeping time. Thank you to Heather Ramos for our wonderful artwork and Ed Biquette for our beautiful intro music. Ask us questions. GeckoGamesPodcast@gmail.com. Eric, where can people find you?
On Twitter. I'm at beautiful_Eric.
I am also on Twitter. I am at TheRichMeister0. And you can find my writings, amongst other things, at my other home at swordchomp.com. But until next time, Eric, it's been a pleasure to get together to talk about cameras panning to buttholes.
Maybe we could do it again sometime.
I hope so. I'll see you all next week.
Goodbye.